realfaith.org.au.
There was something else at work here in this situation, and it wasn't just, oh, well, I'm an angry person. There was a definite spiritual thing that was at work, and it was a real decision to go in and say, you know what, I need to overcome something here because I don't want to be this person. I don't like who I am at this time. I don't like what I've been doing. I don't like the fact that I just hit my husband. That's not who I want to be.
Welcome to Real Faith, conversations about the impact faith has on our lives and the challenges we go through, helping us today and giving us hope for tomorrow. That's Real People, Real Life and Real Faith with Eric Scatterbo.
Doug and Karen Stanton fell in love, married, and went on to pastor a church together. Unfortunately, that's when their marriage began to go downhill, descending so low that Karen even hit Doug. However, as we'll hear today, that was the turning point, and God miraculously turned their marriage around. Doug and Karen, welcome to the program.
Good to be with you.
Great to be here.
Glad to have you with us, and we're going to talk about that low point in your marriage in just a bit, but first, let's go back and find out your background and how did you meet and fall in love?
Yeah, interesting story. You know, I was a pastor of a church, my first full-time ministry out in a little town called Orange, out in the Tablelands. And
New South Wales.
And Karen was one of the parishioners, got recently saved. And somehow, I guess I was at a time in my life where I thought, you know, it's time to consider, I've got to find a wife. And she came into my focus, and We fell in love instantly. It was a remarkable time, and we got married within 6 months of meeting each other, and pioneered a church for our honeymoon in Port Macquarie, Australia.
Yes, that's not the typical honeymoon.
It literally was our honeymoon. We went straight from the wedding and moved to Port Macquarie, and off we went. So it was quite an interesting time, especially when you're on your honeymoon and people are knocking at your door at 6 o'clock in the morning. You feel like just saying, do not disturb.
Well, let's go back a little further. Karen, let's hear your side of the story and a little bit about your background.
Yeah, well, I actually came to the Lord through a broken marriage and, you know, had been through a lot of things. I actually had a really good family and quite a good upbringing, good mum and dad, very loving family. But, you know, as a teenager and into my early 20s, you hit the skids and, you know, you decide that you want to go and work everything out for yourself and make a lot of dumb decisions. And so you get a lot of dumb results. And basically ended up in a divorce. And so my heart was broken. And it was through that I actually came to the Lord, came to the church and gave my life to the Lord. And Doug actually happened to be the pastor of that church. And at the time I was not looking to be married or anything like that. Obviously, I'd just come out of a broken marriage. So over a bit of time, we actually sort of met, and God really did work on us there because neither of us were really focused on each other that way. I mean, he was the pastor of the church. That was pretty scary. And as a brand new baby Christian, you don't think, oh, I'm going to go into the church and marry the pastor.
Oh,
You know, it doesn't come into the thinking. So God really did have to do a bit of a number on us to get us to even notice each other. And he sort of set it up. I won't go into those details, but really set it up and got us to where we realized that, you know, he had actually had a plan for our life. But, you know, because he did have a plan for our life, the devil had also had a counter attack sort of thing. And I suppose the Lord knew what he saw our future and what we had in front of us. And so the devil really did try to just bring us down. And ultimately, you know, we pioneered the church for our honeymoon, but, you know, did not want that to work at all because it was quite a powerful church and many lives were changed in that church, including ours and starting with ours.
Now, when you were married, you had a child from your first marriage?
Yes. Yes, I did. Just a little girl. And, you know, basically when we moved to Port Macquarie, we just came as a married family with a little girl. So we didn't even particularly say to people that, that she was or wasn't Doug's. You know, it wasn't really anybody's business, and people can be quite mean at times.
Mm. And what year were you married?
Back in 86.
Okay, so several years ago. Now,
several years ago, yeah.
I was married in 87, so I can relate. And so going back to you, Karen, now here you were just a baby Christian, and all of a sudden you were a pastor's wife, which stereotypically you think of as, you know, somebody who's mature in the Lord and able to shepherd others, but that was not your situation. So tell us, what was it like for you?
No, it really wasn't the situation, and because I was so young in the Lord, I was still really working out who I was in God, and I didn't really, you know, that was quite a journey there. But it's interesting, you know, how much expectation other people put on you as a pastor or a pastor's wife.
Yeah.
And I found that people just expected me to be a certain way, and because I wasn't like that, I got very harshly judged. I was only young. I was straight out of the world. I still dressed pretty well like that. You know, I was
pretty nice, I thought.
Worked for him, hey? Yeah. So, you know, I was still learning to be a godly Christian woman. And people don't always help. You know, I had some, as we call them, the blue rinse ladies, some older ladies that came into the church. And
What was that term?
The blue rinse ladies.
The blue rinse.
A lot of the ladies in those days used to put a blue rinse in their gray
through their
hair.
So it was the blue rinse set came to me, you know, obviously older ladies, probably in their 70s or even older.
And they had certain expectations of how you were supposed to act as a pastor's wife.
Oh, how I should act and dress. And I'm in my early 20s. And they said, oh, pastor's wife doesn't dress like this and she doesn't speak like, oh, no red fingernails. Oh, take those earrings out of your ears, blah, blah, blah.
Oh, boy.
And anyway, because I was still very young in the Lord, I looked at them and I just said, do you want me to dress like you? And I said, have you looked at yourself in the mirror lately? I'm like, I don't want to dress like you. You're old. And you know, it's not really what they were expecting their pastor's wife to say to them.
Oh, wow. That must have been quite
and
a shock.
And so I think they sort of got quite offended and left. And, you know, it was, I mean, we look back now and we can laugh at those things, but obviously at the time it wasn't that funny when my husband's there trying to get a new church off the ground and he was bringing them in the front door and I was sending them out the back because I was offending so many.
Yes, not an ideal situation. But turning to more serious things, your relationship between the two of you.
Yes, it was very interesting because we were still learning about each other and about God. And, you know, obviously as you grow, when God's the center and God's, you know, number one in your marriage, as you get closer to each other, you get closer to God.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we were still learning that whole process. And so, you know, it felt a little bit in those days like growing up in a fishbowl because I didn't have the opportunity to grow up before I got into being a pastor's wife. And everyone was watching and everyone had their own opinion on everything. And so everything was made, you know, fairly public. And I wasn't particularly very good at hiding my feelings in those days. So, you know, if someone said something to me in those days that upset me, I would just tell them off.
Oh,
and again,
wow.
It's not really what the pastor's wife is supposed to do, is tell the parishioners off. It doesn't work well for church growth.
She was a pastor's wife in everyone's eyes, but she was just saved and not very saved, if I could put it that way. You know, it takes a while for the conversion to come.
Yeah. Yes.
You know, we enter the door, but it takes a while to become, you know, that mature person. And and so it was hard. I was a young pastor walking on eggshells for everybody, and I'd come from business background, and you know, the customer's always right. So I kind of, when I found out, you know, I said to Karen one day, where's those ladies that came and helped us in the early days? I haven't seen them for once. She sort of put her head down and said, oh, I think I told them where to go. And I said, what? You know, I mean, it seems like we laugh about it now, but at the time it was intense. I mean, Karen mentioned that she came through a broken marriage, but she also came through two broken engagements.
Mm.
She was bashed and hurt as a very young girl. Date raped at 14.
Mm.
And so the hurts that led to you know, you mentioned in the introduction that there was a downturn. There was something that was hard after we got married. Well, it wasn't just a broken marriage. That was just part of a journey in her young life of hurt and things that had been imparted into her. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden I married a beautiful, pretty girl with a little beautiful baby, and the pressure of these people and judgments and that brought this hurt out in her life that came into our marriage, especially on a Saturday just before Sunday church. You know, it would seem like it just hit like a flood every Saturday night. And
it's very interesting that we don't realize how much baggage we can bring into our marriage and from our past. And, you know, I suppose as life went on, we basically decided that, well, I decided I didn't want, you know, that stuff in our marriage. And as I grew in the Lord, I realized that, you know, a lot of the things that I would feel towards Doug and the anger and everything that I would feel towards him was not really towards him, but towards other people that had done things to me in my past. And I was still reacting out of that hurt, and it wasn't specifically towards Doug. So we had to deal with that.
So you were kind of taking it out on Doug?
Yes, yeah. Yes. And, you know, he would do the slightest little thing, and I would go into a rage. And it just did not make sense. And, you know, as I started to grow in the Lord and started to realize, why did I react so badly? And then, you know, it came to the point where I had to make a decision. Well, do I want to continue to act like that, or do I want to really get to the bottom of the situation and deal with this that's in my life? You know, because at the end of the day, no one else can deal with it. It was decisions that I had to make to make my marriage work and to deal with the issues that I had.
Our guests today are Pastors Doug and Karen Stanton, sharing their story. They're being very open about some struggles they had early on in their marriage, struggles that, as we'll hear, even involve violence. But then we're going to hear how the Lord turns it all around. That's coming up when we return right here on Real Faith.
The Word for Today is Australia's most widely read daily devotional, designed to give you practical teaching to keep you focused on your relationship with Jesus. Read it online or subscribe to the free printed edition at thewordfortoday.com.au.
You're listening to Real Faith, conversations with real people about how God works in their lives. If you want to know more about integrating faith into your life, our website is realfaith.org.au. Just go to the website and you'll find helpful articles about the impact faith can have on your life. Once again, that's realfaith.org.au.
Welcome back. I'm Eric Scadabo, and our guests today are Pastors Doug and Karen Stanton, sharing their story, the story of their marriage. And before the break, as we heard, they went through a very rocky period that even involved violence. Next, we're going to find out about the lowest point of their marriage.
Well, I think, you know, when you start to get to the point where you're violent and even hit out towards your husband, you have to think, what am I doing? Like, what's this all about? Mm-hmm. And really at that point I thought, I need help.
Mm-hmm. You know, just as I'm listening to my wife, I'm constantly amazed that when I think back of how we began the first year or so of our marriage, that broke loose, and I hear the wisdom, I hear the peace in her life right now, and the thousands of people we get to touch all around our world. It's almost like two lives, and it really is. There's an old self and a new self. And the low point, I guess, that was a turning point in our life was, see, Karen had been bashed by a boyfriend that sort of interrupted the first two engagements. It was sort of, and tried to affect ours too, even later in our experience.
Mm-hmm.
But she, you know, and she had a date rape experience. She was bashed to the point of stoicism. Mm-hmm. And so there were many times when she'd get angry. She didn't just get angry with words. She got angry and she could fight. And, you know, I'm 6'2", she's 5'6", I could handle it, but it's not what I was expecting in pastoring a church.
Yeah, well, any husband isn't expecting it, especially a pastor. And you said a lot of this happened on a Saturday night right before the Sunday morning service.
Which points out the spiritual side of it.
Oh, it was so predictable.
It was predictable. Many nights I walked the streets wanting to resign the next morning, thinking we're hypocrites.
Mm.
We don't have a right to be out there teaching others when we're in a mess like this. And yet we'd get into church after it all and we'd kind of make excuses for the bruises a bit or something that happened, you know, the day before. And honestly, I went there with resignation letters many Sundays, just going, I'm done.
Hmm.
We got to work this out.
But what happened? How did it turn around?
Well, the one big experience that happened, the Lord spoke to me one time and he said, when she goes to hit you, just let her hit you. And I thought, that can't be God. I thought, get thee behind me, you know. But God persisted in that night, and it became like something I knew in my heart. It was almost like a moment that I thought, you know what? What have I got to lose? I just believe, the Bible says turn the other cheek. Well, this was literal.
Yeah.
So there are times when she'd get angry, and she learned to fight. I was a boxer. She'd done karate. I mean, she could hurt you because she could, you know.
Wow.
And it was angry, and there was. And so
it was out of control. That's
all that rage from your past, it sounds like.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And so we just moved. We actually, a lot of this was, we were in a caravan at the back of the church we were starting, and we'd just moved into a little duplex with people on the other side of a very thin, gyprock wall. And so, I just thought, next time she does this, I'm not going to stop her. I'm just going to take it on the cheek, so to speak. Well, she did a haymaker,
Wow.
She got angry and she just came at me, and I had this euphoric moment where I just kind of, you imagine me just sort of drop my knees and go, okay, do it. And anyway, she hit me so hard. And to be honest, I can't remember really feeling the impact because she broke a wrist.
Wow.
And all of a sudden we're taken into a moment where she broke with pain, she hit the ground, and I went with her because I realized what had happened, and the bone poked out between the palm and the arm.
Oh.
And she went blue, and it went, and she cried and she sobbed, which was a miracle in our relationship, because I remember once I tried to manhandle a little bit to break her out of the rage, it just made her worse. There was no, she couldn't feel pain, she was stoic because of the bashings and the stuff in her life.
It switches you down.
It makes
you shut down.
In amongst this, there was this sweet person. It was like you're living with two people sometimes.
Yes.
But anyway, I hugged her and she cried and she fell into my arms, which was kind of nice. And I often say when I recur this, I said there was a little bit of satisfaction when she, I'm looking down at this wrist and she hurt herself and I – I was taking a lot of this really personal, even though I'd experienced enough to know she was taking out on me her past, and I knew I hadn't done anything to deserve it. But it was still very personal when you're a young man and you love this person and you take it. And so, I gloated in it a little bit for a moment and more or less just wondered why we got here. Why would God tell me to do this? But honestly, there was a power in that moment that changed everything because I said, it's like Saturday night, and I'm thinking, how do I explain this tomorrow? we'd made a few excuses here and there for a few things and sort of tried not to lie, but just tried to cover each other. Anyway, I said, we need to pray. You're in pain. And I just started to pray. And as I prayed, God just healed it. The bone went back into place. The pain subsided, it took minutes, but it happened in front of our eyes, and we watched it in amazement. Tears are still flowing out both of our eyes. A little bit more now because we're seeing something supernatural happen. And it was like the beginning of the rest of our lives to where we knew God was in our marriage. God wanted to help our marriage. God wanted to intervene in our lives. And that was a very dramatic moment for me, who believed in healing, who had experienced healing in my own life. But this was something that my wife had never experienced up to that point. And so we watched it together just go back to normal. It was like a reverse camera. It was like someone just turned the camera back, and she just quenched a finger, and then we hugged each other, and we just, there was a closeness that began in our life that God now was a part of. And we had lots of incidences. We weren't over it all. Like we had to, life is a journey of overcoming. And what I learned in those times from there on is that, number one, we decided to have the best marriage we could, but we began to learn to overcome ourselves. And
I think that was the thing for me was realizing that there was something else at work here in this situation, and it wasn't just, oh, well, I'm an angry person. There was a definite spiritual thing that was at work, and it was a real decision to go in and say, you know what, I need to overcome something here, and I need to win in this situation because I don't want to be this person. I don't like who I am at this time. I don't like what I've been doing. Mm-hmm. I don't like the fact that I just hit my husband. That's not who I want to be. And so it was a definite decision at that point on my behalf to say, that's it. I'm done with this, you know, actions. And I made a decision that day. It was the turning point to say, no, I'm determined to win this. And, you know, we're going to make our marriage the very best one. And this that comes over me, I'm going to beat it.
I remember a beautiful moment in my life where Karen was coming to grips with overcoming this thing in her life. Mm-hmm. And she went outside or left me, went to another room away from me in a moment of anger. And we came into agreement. You know, we kind of called it Karen 1, Karen 2 kind of environment. And we agreed together in a good moment. I said, if I see you starting to ebb in that direction, can I just remind you Karen 2 is starting to turn up?
And when he says Karen 1 and Karen 2, Karen 1 obviously being the spiritual person, the person God wants me to be, but Karen 2 being the one that's completely living and acting out in the flesh.
Kind of the dark Karen.
Yes.
Yeah, darkness. So, you know, this day, Karen's getting this slowly and she goes out. And she actually responded to me well, and she was beautiful. She responded. She got that look on her face like she could have eaten me, you know, for breakfast. And then she walked away, and it wasn't just, I'm going to go away and count to 10. She went away, and I heard her in the background going, devil, I hate you. I hate what you're trying to do to me, and I am not going to fall for this. And she sort of turned the anger back on something other than me. And then I remember, you know, I'm listening, and I'm going, yes, yes, you know. And then she said, and I love Doug, you know.
Yeah.
And, man, I don't remember anything else. I broke. And something broke in me that day, and I knew we could make it. I knew we could win this thing. And that was the beginning of just so many victories. I mean, we still had our battles. You always got a battle.
Yeah. Mm.
But eventually it's like you're sowing – you're reaping the seeds of your past life for a long time in your early Christianity, your early marriage. But if you keep sowing good seed, eventually a different harvest comes out.
Yeah.
Now, unfortunately, we're quickly running out of time, but you've been happily married for over 30 years now. Please wrap up our conversation today. Where did your relationship go from there? And what have you been doing in the last 30 years?
Well, we just in a nutshell, we pioneered a church in Port Macquarie for a honeymoon. I burnt out at the end of that. We went to USA, really, as a burnout minister. God tricked us into doing meetings in upstate New York, broke into revival. And we've really been revivalists through many parts of the world and mostly USA for now 33 years, you know, for the last part of the 25 years of those 33 years. And just amazing life. You know, we've learned to leave something to do what God's called us to do. We left our country, our family, and we don't regret one moment of any of these battles or anything we've given up.
We stand up and share the victories now because a lot of people don't talk about these things in church and people need to talk about it so people can learn how to get the victory. And because we have the victory, we can share it in victory and, you know, bring it out, and it helps people's marriage. And because we're not affected by these things anymore, we can just stand up and share it openly and honestly.
Just be real about it.
Yes.
Yeah, once you're free, it doesn't have power over you.
No.
Right.
You break the power of your past over your life. And that's what God did through the cross. But it's an everyday overcoming. To him who overcomes, I grant to eat of the tree of life. And so often, even in many of the charismatic circles, we all think it's about overcoming the devil. The devil's been overcome in and through the cross. But the real mission of every believer is to overcome themselves.
Yes.
So that those, you know, in a marriage, like we're talking about, God then makes you one. Mm-hmm. You know, I just want to say, even as I'm looking across the studio at my wife, the peace that she has today, the wisdom, the love she has for the broken, where she was a broken, I was a broken person.
Yeah.
You know, and there's so much more than what we can share today. But I just encourage everyone that might listen to this that there is a way out of everything.
Yes. Amen.
And it, you know, it might seem I get sad when people divorce because they could have used the pain if they could have brought God into it to have the greatest marriage this side of the black
stump. But it starts with making that decision to change yourself first.
Yeah, all this is the work of the Lord. I mean, yes. We make a decision and then we draw near to God, the Bible says, and he draws near to us.
Yeah.
So it's not like we willpowered this thing.
No.
It was like we made decisions that involved our will of yielding to something greater, and then God comes through. He does what you can't do. And it's so real to us, and we have the joy of sharing that most days of our life.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you so much, Doug and Karen Stanton, for sharing your amazing story.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Our guests today have been pastors Doug and Karen Stanton, and if you want to find out more information about their ministry, you can go to their website, dsmi.org. That's dsmi.org.
You've been listening to Real Faith, and if you have any questions or comments, you can send us a message through our website, realfaith.org.au. That's realfaith.org.au.
This program is a production of Vision Christian Media. To find out more about us, see vision.org.au.